The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? So if you don't believe there is a Creator, despite all the evidence around you, then I would hope you don't have an expectation of something nice happening when you die, because, sorry to say, it's not going to be pleasant when you die. So you might want to rethink whether it's worth finding out about the Almighty. He's also said concerning believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life. So if you're a believer at some level and you're not actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty and you have some expectation that something nice will happen when you die, you might also want to rethink, because I'm sorry to have to say to you that unless you make an effort to get close to the Almighty, you're going to get a nasty shock when you die. So tonight's talk is Where Will You Spend Eternity? Part 9. This is the final part of this series based on a book written in early 2004 and revised in March 2015. By way of context to all of this, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. So an overview of tonight's program. We will reiterate that the essential question is whether one desires to sit on a throne for eternity. We will see that Yeshua, you may know him as Jesus, and Yah, the Almighty, weep over the lost. We will see that the throne room in heaven is nearly empty. We will learn that in 1995, 99 out of 100 of those who were called were not in heaven. We will be challenged to take a long, hard look at our lives. We will see that the throne of judgment is also the throne of grace. We will be cautioned to be conscious of both the kindness and the severity of the Almighty. We will learn that we are now in the last battle. We will learn about the overcomers who are seated on thrones. We will learn that Adam initiated a dispensation in which man hides from the Almighty while the Almighty is seeking for man. We will register that the Almighty knows all that there is to know about us, and you will be encouraged to read the rest of the book, The Final Quest. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I practiced as a strategic management consultant in South Africa for about 25 years, and I'm now a business executive in the United Kingdom and have been for a number of years. I have over 26 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked hotel room. All that I have to say to you is learned in response to that experience. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. Questions from last week's program. Question number one from Mary. Why does it seem people wait till they know they're going to die before they start to reform? I think the answer to that is that the majority of people go through life avoiding the question of what's going to happen when they die. When you're young, vital, strong, you feel invincible. You don't really consider the reality that one of these days you're going to die. As death becomes more tangible, as you become weaker, as you begin to realize that, in fact, yes, your life is going to come to an end in the not-too-distant future, you suddenly start wondering where you're going to end up. And at least in some cases, that leads to active seeking to draw close to the Almighty. But in fact, the vast majority of people don't even do it when they're close to death. Question two from Joel. Where was this locked room that he spoke to you located? It was a hotel room in Sandton in Johannesburg, South Africa. So nothing special about the room. I was just in the hotel. I'd just broken up with a woman that I'd had an adulterous affair with. My marriage was on the rocks. I didn't know what was going on. My life was a mess. I was considering suicide. I spent the night evaluating different scenarios, figuring out how I could kill myself in a way that I wouldn't back out at the last minute. And the Almighty spoke to me about 7 o'clock in the morning and said to me, phone Ian Peters. He has something that you need. Ian was a business associate of mine, and I knew at some vague level that he was some sort of believer. Question number three from Ruth. If you go straight to judgment, is that where you would get sent back if you're not worthy to be with the Almighty? In a way, yes. If you're an unbeliever, you will come to some form of judgment where you will be told that you've been lied to, that there is a heaven, that it is possible to spend eternity in heaven, and that you don't qualify, and you will then be sent back to your corpse. If you're a believer at some level, you will go to heaven. You will be shown all your unconfessed sin. And in that case, if you have unconfessed sin, you will be sent to hell for a period of time proportionate to all the unconfessed sin in your life, which could be a pretty long time to suffer torment. And if you have dealt with all your sin in this life, you will be told that you're worthy to come into heaven and be admitted to heaven immediately. By the way, those who go to hell will eventually make it into heaven, with the exception of those who have committed unpardonable sins, in which case once they've paid the price for their sin in hell, they will be cast into the lake of fire to be utterly destroyed. Question number four from Mary. Is that when people say they have had near-death experiences? Certainly that is one of the situations where people do come to heaven at some level and then are prayed back, or come to hell at some level and are prayed back. Question number five from Gad. How can you teach others that are doing wrong if it is wrong to speak of it to others? I said in the last program that you don't really want to spend a lot of time talking about what's wrong, and I think that's what this question refers to. Yes, you do need to point out to others that what they believe is wrong, but what I'm saying is do not get sucked into writing long treatises and setting up websites, etc., about the error. Simply, cleanly, concisely state that it's error and move on and teach the truth that replaces the error. If you get sucked into teaching about error, you will eventually get it, which is exalting Satan. You'll get closer to Satan. Focus on teaching the truth that replaces the error, and you will get closer to Father, who is the source of all truth. Question six from Joel. how often should we be praying this prayer? I think he's referring to the prayer that I mentioned that I said is most important. Father, I ask you to judge me severely and correct me harshly that I may serve you more perfectly. I pray that most days, have been doing, started praying it in 1998, have prayed it regularly for I don't know how many years now. Strongly recommended. Question 7 from Philip. Are these teachings that of someone who's been there to heaven and come back? All the extracts from the book, The Final Quest, which is the source document that I'm using for quite a bit of this teaching, are from Rick Joyner, and he was caught up in a series of visions into heaven. So these are first-hand experiences of his that we're citing here. Question 8, Saul. Where's this prayer site again, please? It's on the website near the top of the menu. You'll see a link called Prayer. Just click on that and you'll find a whole lot of articles on prayer. That's my website, www.endtimeissueministries.org. To pick up where we left off, where will you spend eternity continued? The last session we left off with the question asked by Yeshua to Joyner, do you want to sit on a high throne with me for eternity? This is the essential question of this whole teaching. Do you want to sit on a high throne with Yeshua for eternity? Yeshua, you may know as Jesus. I suggest then that if you're not sure of the answer to that, rather wait a while and make a quality decision, a decision that you will not compromise on later. Get in touch with what you really want in life. Do you want nice cars, nice house, approval of your family and peers, etc.? Or do you want, well done, thy good and faithful servant, come up here on the day of judgment? I'm convinced that if anyone really grasps the magnitude of what is being offered, they will say yes. But what about you? The following extract from The Final Quest gives some indication of what the Almighty might say to you if you say yes. Incidentally, the references, I'm going to give you a reference now, 1183, is page 118, paragraph 3 in the edition of the book that I have. In 1183, Joyner replies, I do with all my heart, regarding the question, do you want to sit on a throne for eternity? In 1184, Joyner reports, you're sure, then looked at the galleries and said, those empty seats could have been filled in any generation. I gave the invitation to sit here to everyone who's called upon my name. They're still available. Now the last battle has come and many who are last shall be first. These seats will be filled before the battle is over. Those who will sit here will be known by two things. They will wear the mantle of humility and they will have my likeness. You now have the mantle if you can keep it and do not lose it in the battle. When you return, you will also have my likeness. Then you will be worthy to sit with these, because I will have made you worthy. All authority and power has been given to me, and I alone can wield it. You will prevail, and you will be trusted with my authority, only when you have come to fully abide in me. Now turn and look at my household. 1185, I turned and looked back in the direction I'd come from. From before his throne, I could see the entire room. The spectacle was beyond any comparison in its glory. Millions filled the ranks. Each individual in the lowest rank was more awesome than an army and had more power. It was far beyond my capacity to absorb such a panorama of glory. Even so, I could see that only a very small portion of the great room was occupied. Such an important observation. So note that if you make it to heaven, you will be exalted, you will be glorified, you will have prestige, you will have authority, and you will have a glorious body. Certainly something worth seeking. 1192, I then looked back at Yeshua and was astonished to see tears in his eyes. He'd wiped the tears away from every eye here except his own. As a tear ran down his cheek, he caught it in his hand, and he then offered it to me. 1193. This is my cup. Will you drink it with me? It seems to me that this is the same question that will be asked of every person who seeks to sit on a throne for eternity. Really important to understand that Yah, the Almighty Creator, and Yahshua, firstborn of the dead, are deeply grieved by the situation and the circumstances that mankind are in today. This is not what was planned. This is not what they had in mind when they labored for all those millennia, creating the universe, creating the solar system, creating planet Earth, populating planet Earth with plants and animals. So much care and thought into preparing an environment for people who they wanted to love, who wanted to fellowship with them, and it's all gone horribly wrong. They're deeply grieved, they're deeply hurt, they're deeply saddened. Returning to the final quest, 1194, there was no way that I could refuse him. As Yeshua continued to look at me, I began to feel his great love. Even as foul as I was, he still loved me. As undeserving as I was, he wanted me to be close to him. Then he said, I love all of these with a love that you cannot now understand. I also love all who are supposed to be here, but did not come. I've left the 99 to go after the one who was lost. My shepherds would not leave the one to go after the 99 who are still lost. I came to save the lost. Will you share my heart to go to save the lost? Will you help to fill this room? Will you help to fill these thrones and every other seat in this hall? Will you take up this quest to bring joy out to heaven, to me and to my Father? This judgment is for my own household, and my own house is not full. The last battle will not be over until my house is full. Only then will it be time for us to redeem the earth and remove the evil from my creation. If you drink my cup, you will love the lost the way that I love them. So important to note, 99% in 1995, 99% of all those who should have been in heaven at that time were not there. I would urge you, if you are hearing my message, if you're hearing that Father desires for you to become his friend, then becoming part of becoming his friend is that you have a desire to turn around the captivity of this world, that you have a desire to help others to become his friend, that you have a desire to help others to become wise stewards, good and faithful servants, and to overcome. Coming back to the 99% are not there. That really is a terrible statistic. As I've mentioned previously, in the current age, the situation for the current generation is worse. Remember that that was nearly 25 years ago. Right now, can you say with total conviction, based on a deep personal relationship with the Almighty, that you have done enough in your life to qualify for heaven and enough not to qualify for hell? Can you truly say that your doctrine is sufficiently accurate that you will not be found a liar and heretic on the day of judgment? Can you truly say that you have held lengthy personal conversations with the Almighty to a point where you are confident that you know his will in your life? Or that in some other way you are confident that you are on the straight way headed for the narrow gate? Folks, I see so much. I have a good few thousand people on my mailing lists, ranging from committed believers to people who think I'm crazy. And some of them unsubscribe from time to time, and others, I think, just delete what I send. And some of them put me on their mailing lists and send me stuff, which is really disturbing quite a lot of the time. And some of them are really arrogant and believe that they are in line with the Almighty, and what they write is just so wrong, so out of line, so out of touch with Father. Where are you? Are you sure where you're going to end up when you die? And that's not so far from now, no matter how old you are. Are you certain things are going to go right with you when you die? Or do you want to take a chance? Or is this a time to re-examine your life and take a long, hard look at what you've done in your life to date and what you think your life currently is set to look like if you continue doing what you're doing? Is this a time for change, for drastic change? Please consider this carefully and prayerfully as we continue. Folks, my sense is that almost no one in this age is really asking themselves the question, where will I go when I die? And even those who may be asking that question at some level, most of them have a very unsatisfactory answer, because what's being taught generally in the world around that topic is mostly, frankly, with respect, nonsense. It's not the way it's going to be. So the questions that I've just asked you are really deeply serious questions. What are you going to do that you may die and be called forward with words like, well done, thy good and faithful servant, come up higher, rejoice with me for what you have done in your life? I ask you to seriously consider this. Returning to the final quest, page 119, paragraph 6, and 120, paragraph 1, Joiner describes how Yahshua placed the tear in a plain cup and gave it to Joiner to drink. Joiner describes how he erupted into tears, crying for the lost and for Yahshua and the Almighty. In 122, Joiner describes how he was then filled with the peace of Yah. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of Yah, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through the anointing which was upon Yeshua. That's typically represented as Christ Jesus. It's not referring to Yeshua, it's referring to the anointing that was upon Yeshua. After this, Joiner experienced the glory of the Almighty and was filled with the urge to preach, to worship, to breathe every breath for the good news of the kingdom of the Almighty. When you get to a point where you really, where you really know that the Almighty exists, where you really know that He needs you to step up and help Him, your life will not be the same after that. I urge you, when this broadcast is over, to get on your knees, even get on your face, and say, Father, help me to become the person you want me to be. Continuing the final quest, look at the throne of grace. 120, paragraph 3, Joiner realizes that the throne of judgment is also the throne of grace and requests grace to serve the Almighty, for grace to finish his course. He asks for grace to love the Almighty the way he's experiencing in the vision, so that he can be delivered from delusions and self-centeredness. He asks for salvation from himself and the evil of his own heart. He asks for the love he feels at that moment to flow continually in his heart. He asks for the heart of the Almighty and His love. He asks for the grace of the set apart, that is, Holy Spirit, to convict him of his own sin and to testify of the Almighty and of Yeshua as they really are. For grace to testify of that which is prepared for those who come to the Almighty. For grace to preach the reality of the judgment. For grace to share with those who are called to occupy the empty thrones and to give them words of life to keep them on the path of life. Words that will impart to them the faith to do what they have been called to do. Big concepts. I just want to stress, in this walk with the Almighty, it is not sufficient just to pray once. No matter how deeply you pray it, no matter how sincerely you pray it, and then leave it. I mentioned earlier that I pray, Father, judge me severely and correct me harshly, that I may serve you more perfectly on a regular basis, and have done so for years. I have a repertoire of prayers, all of which are on the website, that I pray mostly daily. Folks, you need to keep praying critical directional prayers. You need to keep giving Father permission to operate in your life. Page 121, paragraph 3, Yeshua states that we must be constantly conscious of both the kindness and the severity of the Almighty, and that we must remember both if we are to stay on the path of life and not fall into deception. Yeshua indicates that it is grace to know both of these, and that all the experiences that Joyner has been given in the visions is grace directed at this objective. It therefore seems imperative to consciously seek to know both the love and the judgments of the Almighty in our lives continuously. I've been asked if I've ever had any experiences like Joyner has, and the answer is no. I've had a few fleeting visions, not very detailed. I've had a number of other experiences where the anointing on me was very strong. I had a period where if I laid hands on people, they were healed. Words of knowledge, other supernatural experiences. But for the most part, I've not had many of the dramatic experiences that people like Joyner have had. Father has said to me that he has refrained from giving me those experiences because if he had, I would have become proud and would have fallen away. And he's shown me also that many of the men and women who operated powerfully in the power gifts in the late 90s and early 2000s and even before that, fell away because of pride and other sin, because they saw the gifts as meaning that they were beyond reproach, that they had arrived, when in fact they still had a long way to go. Better not to have dramatic experiences and just to solidly stay on track with a clear view of where you're going to spend eternity. Coming to the last battle on 122, paragraph 3, it is stated that Yeshua is now waiting for his enemies to be put under his feet, that is, to be made his footstool. Refer to Hebrews in the Bible, chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of Yah, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. It is also stated that the legions of messengers, that's angels, that have been on standby for this time have been released, and that the hordes of hell have also been released. It is stated that what is now unfolding on earth is the last battle. So in considering what has been presented thus far, it is perhaps useful to consider that the spiritual dispensation in which we now find ourselves is very different to that which prevailed until 2003. Are you willing to accept the challenge? Folks, it is so important to get this point that Yeshua is waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. Who is he waiting for? He's waiting for us. He's waiting for the believers. So if you're a believer and you're waiting for Yeshua or Jesus to come soon and sort out the mess, you need to think again. Satan was sent to the pit in 2003. He's going to be there for 1,000 years. Yeshua cannot return until Satan has been released from the pit and either deemed and been defeated. We have to defeat the satanic realm. Nobody else. You, Mr. or Mrs. Believer, and me. So it's time to change your mental position and start asking Father how you can help him defeat the enemy. And first and foremost, that means cleaning up your life and getting victory over sin. The next section of the final quest is titled The Overcomers, and it reports Joyner's experience in the vision after he leaves the judgment seat and meets with some of those who are sitting on thrones. On pages 124 and 125, Joyner reports a form of communication in heaven that transcends words. It is something that in earthly terms might be called telepathy, but from the way he describes it, it is much more profound. In 125.3, it is suggested that this level of communication was lost after the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11.9. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because Yah, the eternally self-existing, did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did Yah, the eternally self-existing, scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. It is stated that we can only experience such communication when we are freed in the presence of the Almighty. A really important observation. The early human beings, Adam, Noah, had huge supernatural powers. Noah was 18 feet, 6 meters tall. His family were also tall. They found his house. They found his grave. Noah was a giant. We have degraded massively. In 125.4, Joyner indicates that when Adam's transgression caused him to hide from the Almighty, it was the beginning of a most terrible distortion of what man was created to be, as well as a severe reduction of his intellectual and spiritual capacities. These could only be restored when we come out of hiding. 126.1, opening ourselves to the Almighty and to each other, becoming genuinely transparent. It is as we behold the glory of the Almighty with an unveiled face that we are changed into his image. The veils are causing our hiding. The statement about the reduction in the capabilities of mankind that resulted from Adam's transgression is a really important aspect of understanding our current situation. So notice there again a reduction of intellectual and spiritual capacities. Folks, we are not the most intellectually powerful, most creative, whatever generation that has ever lived. We are just what's recovered as a result of the Reformation from the Dark Ages, where things were almost totally destroyed. So we're a blip on the radar screen in terms of recovery. We should not be proud of what we've accomplished. We should be aware of the fact that we are nowhere near the way we were created to be. Intellectually, physically, spiritually, you name it, we're just not there. And the way things are going at the moment, we're moving rapidly into another cycle of degradation, which will see mankind degenerate into primitive, barbaric, violent existence. Continuing on the overcomers, many believers at some level seem to believe that the present generation is the most advanced generation, technologically and spiritually, that has ever walked the earth. The reality, which is not within the scope of this broadcast, but which is alluded to in the above quote, is that mankind has degenerated massively spiritually from the time of Adam. In fact, mankind's recent technological advances are only a limited recovery of the technology that was in existence at the time of Noah, as evidenced by the books Dead Men's Secrets and The Killing of Paradise Planet, both by Jonathan Gray and available on Amazon. I would strongly recommend that if you are interested in how mankind got to be where we are today, that you get a copy of Dead Men's Secrets and a copy of The Killing of Paradise Planet from Amazon by Jonathan Gray. See also on the website www.endtimeissueministries.org on the flood page under the flood item on the main menu. There's quite a bit of information there. It is only when one can grasp just how far the present generation has fallen from knowledge of the Almighty and knowledge of His ways that one can really begin to see how big a challenge it is today to qualify to enter heaven at all, and particularly to qualify to sit on a high throne. On page 126, paragraph 2, Joyner states, when the Almighty asked Adam where he was after the transgression, it was after his very first question to man, after the fall, and it is the first one that we must answer if we are to be fully restored to him. Of course, the Almighty knew where Adam was. The question was for Adam's sake. That question was the beginning of the Almighty's quest for man. The story of redemption is the Almighty's pursuit of man, not man's pursuit of the Almighty. When we can fully answer this question, knowing where we are in relation to the Almighty, we will have been fully restored to Him. We can only know the answer when we are in His presence. Folks, so important to understand that mankind has been hiding from Father Yah, the Almighty Creator, for over 6,000 years. There are such lies abound that the Almighty doesn't want a personal relationship with you, that you have to go to the Almighty through a qualified religious person, a priest or an imam or a rabbi or a guru or a whatever. It's just not true. Father doesn't want you to have a relationship with Him via some intermediary. He created us to have a deep personal relationship with Him individually. He created you with the capacity, the ability, everything that's required to have a deep personal relationship with the Almighty Creator. I can help you to get there. I can point the way. I can give you guidelines, but do not follow me. Follow my example and seek to go beyond me. Seek to get closer to Father than I am. Seek to get closer to Father than any other human being in this generation. Seek to get closer to Father than anybody else except Yeshua. It's available to you. I encourage you to do it. Page 126, chapter, verse 3. That was the essence of my, that's Joyner's, entire judgment seat experience. The Almighty already knew all that there was to know about me. It was all for my sake, so I would know where I was. It was all to bring me out of hiding, to bring me out of darkness into light. It is really so important that we recognize that the Almighty does know all that there is to know about us. He knows about our secret sins, our desires, our dreams, our lusts, our fears, our whatever. He knows about the painful experiences that have created emotional scars, wrong beliefs, automatic reactions, etc. When He brings people together in partnership, in marriage, in ministry, in business, He knows everything about them. He's not surprised by their quirks and their habitual sins. It's so important to understand But if you really want to get close to Father, you need to be transparent, transparent with Him, transparent with the people around you. It's very difficult in these days to form partnerships that endure. But it's worth it. Yet, so frequently when believers are convinced the Almighty has brought them together in marriage, ministry, business, etc., the moment one of them discovers something about the other that they do not approve of or like, they reject them and break the partnership. They lose sight of the fact that the Almighty is not surprised. In 126:4, Joyner states that the Almighty is seeking to be one with His people. He wants us to see things, quote, in union with Him. In 127:1, it is stated that the darkness in the world was perpetuated by the compulsion to hide that began after the fall. Walking in the light is more than just knowing and obeying certain truths. It is being true, and it is being free from the compulsion to hide. It seems to me that this is a big part of this message. The thing of partnership is very difficult. And I would add to what I've just said, based on what I've learned since that was written. And that is that it is a reality that Father can bring two or more people together in some form of partnership, be it marriage, be it ministry, be it business. And one of those people may go forward in the way Father intended, while the other may not. And so in time they will drift apart. The one may fall into serious sin, and frequently Father may end those partnerships, because he realizes that the one will tear down and destroy the other. The house becomes divided. There's spiritual damage is done. The one partner is spiritually injured by the behavior of the other partner. It's a very complex, very challenging subject, and I hope to teach more about that in a later teaching. Are you willing to make a decision to really seek the Almighty rather than hiding from Him? Are you willing to accept that He knows everything about you, and yet He still loves you and wants to heal you and draw you close to Him? And He wants to offer you an opportunity to sit with Yeshua on a throne for eternity. It is a wonderful offer if you can accept it, but it requires your free will choice. In 127:2, Joyner stresses that part of being free from hiding is that we are also transparent with others. There is much more in the remaining pages of the final quest. If this message has made an impact on you, please make every effort to read the remainder of the book and then read the whole book. There is much that is contained therein that is not contained in this message. You can purchase the book on Amazon.com, or there's a copy available on my website behind the Eternity menu item. To recap, we reiterated that the essential question is whether one desires to sit on a throne for eternity. We saw that Yeshua and Yah weep over the lost. We see that the throne room is nearly empty. We learned that 99 out of 100 who were called are not in heaven. We were challenged to take a long, hard look at our lives. We saw that the throne of judgment is also the throne of grace. We're cautioned to be conscious of both the kindness and the severity of the Almighty. We learned that we are now in the last battle. We learned about the overcomers who are seated on thrones. We learned that Adam's disobedience initiated a dispensation in which man hides from Yah, while Yah is seeking for man. We registered that the Almighty knows all that there is to know about us, and you're encouraged to read the rest of the book, The Final Quest, and also the book The Call by the same writer. Since writing the book Where Will You Spend Eternity, which has formed the basis of these nine teachings, I've learnt a lot, particularly become very aware of the fact that Father had very different plans and things that have turned out in a way that was far, far different from anything that he had in mind. Negatively different, badly different. I've also realized that where he shows us something in the future, it's not a foretelling. It is a enjoinder to come alongside him to make what he shows you in the future a reality. There will not be the thrones in heaven will not be all be filled unless we go out there and bring in the people to fill them. The forces of darkness will not be defeated. They will not be made a footstool to Yeshua unless we go out there and defeat them. So in closing, five key documents on the main menu web pages. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you near the bottom of the menu. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator, also near the bottom of the menu. Recommended worship, about 20 songs near the bottom of the menu, strongly recommended. The Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, at the top of the menu. In-depth study of the names of the Almighty. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? Near the bottom of the menu. This broadcast is taken from that. All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries.org, all one word. Transcripts of nearly all the teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they are all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then on podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available today. I've got 40 sets, and if you would really like a set because you believe you'll make real use of it, please contact me. I publish regular email articles. Email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. Finally, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. And my intention is that next week we will start looking at a more detailed review of the history of mankind over the last 6,000 years. A fair amount of material that you probably will never have heard of before, answer probably a lot of questions that you may have or have never thought to ask, and help you to get a more grounded view of how this whole thing got to where it is today and what needs to happen to change it. Urge you personally to choose to become a friend of the Creator. It doesn't matter your age, your gender, your race, your color, your creed, your level of education, your level of finances, the color of your hair, the color of your eyes, the color of your skin. None of that matters. He wants a deep personal relationship with you. Good night.